Good morning. My name's Clint. I live here at Grace Fellowship. I live at home. I live in the world. I'm happy to be alive in Christ. I'm happy to survive our pre-worship prayers and song. Have you ever walked into a room and said, "Hey, I'm sorry to disturb you"? Can you imagine the Lord walking into our house today saying, "I'm sorry to disturb you"?
You're welcome.
I want to be disturbed today.
Yeah.
I want an atmospheric disturbance.
Yeah.
Jesus began to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Yes.
He brought a shift into the atmosphere of very sad and oppressed people. He hasn't stopped preaching in 2,000 years. And our hearts, born from above, have been made alive, first and foremost, in the hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for true food and true drink. Jesus said, "My body is true food. My blood is true drink." That was an atmospheric disturbance in the time of Christ. That was offensive to most mortals that happened to sit under this man's shadow 2,000 years ago. Lou was playing a song a little earlier, "We've Got a Weapon." And he started to laugh and he said, "This is not something you can say in church today. This is not something you can say at the Santa Rosa Mall today. But you do have a weapon."
Yes.
This is your weapon. Psalms 23, the Spirit of Truth whispered through Jesus, whispered through David, "Your rod, Lord, and your staff, they comfort me." This rod and this staff is closer to you than you know. The Comforter is here, and we're going to talk about the shepherd's rod a little bit today. Do you know what pleased God to separate you from your mother's womb?
Wow.
Last time I came up to speak, the Lord whispered something to me on the way up to the stage. He said, "Clear the stage, bring them to the door, and show them to their seats." I said, "I don't have a clue what to do with that." By the time I got to the stage, I realized there's no performance in the kingdom of heaven. By the time I got to the stage, I was recalling Jesus saying, "I am the door. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door." And then fast forward, Paul the Apostle, having been separated from his mother's womb, declared, "When it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb, I started to preach the gospel of Christ." And you know, this tension upon him and all that have gone before us, this divine tension is not unique to a great prophet or a public speaker or a political superstar. This is unique to every son and daughter born from above. Jesus says, "My children, my sons, my daughters, I will give you a mouth. You will learn to hear my voice, and I will give you a mouth that the adversaries you find yourself in the midst of, especially spiritually at the workplace, will not be able to resist the wisdom, the love, the presence, the atmospheric disturbance you bring wherever you go." Oh, gosh, that was a hard intro. All right, we're going to talk about leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms,
leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
We're going to talk about leaning on the everlasting. Hallelujah. So, what I'm sharing today was birthed about a month ago. Phil had asked me to share. He and Lisa were going to be vacationing. And I was walking around Spring Lake, and this was right in my path. I was walking with Tracy. I said, "That's the message." I go, "Oh, Lord, how are we going to do this? This is going to be hard." So anyway, pre-service worship and prayer last week, Kathy Hicks read a verse from Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. That really messed me up, the word worship. The Lord has awakened us to worship in spirit and in truth. He's leaning on the top of his staff, and he's blessing both the sons of Joseph. Now, you all here today, because I can see the crowd, I know y'all born from above, and I know you're leaning in to the Lord. The top of his staff is a curious thing to me. I began meditating on that. I've shared with you a couple times before, I brought artifacts from my dad's old house. And I have a sweet connection with my dad. He went on to glory in 2017, Tubbs Fire, shortly thereafter. And like anybody else, I'm just walking through my grief and richly being encountered by God in my lowest moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But I'm fascinated with this idea of leaning. This was probably my great-grandfather's walking stick. My dad had a little cabin at Pinecrest up in the Sierra. So I brought that home to share with you. This one was my dad's. You can tell the technology. He must have found something to polish it up. But leaning. Did you know Jesus was leaning on his Father? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Apostolic prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on, Jesus, I'm hungry. Forgive us our debt. You've paid all of our debt. Lead us not into temptation. Wow. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So that's a good word right there. You can't improve on that prayer. Jacob blessed his children. He was testifying over his children. He was prophesying over his children. When he was dying, he was leaning on the top. When he was dying, he was leaning on the top of that rod and prophesying over his children. Wow! The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? On Father's Day, Lisa was sharing about measuring ourselves. And I'm going to share something with you, from my own journey with my dad. But to prophesy over your children requires the Holy Spirit. To prophesy If you sift it from the religiosity, it's the presence of the Lord. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty to speak the truth in love. This is not something reserved for a superstar. This is reserved for every son and daughter. The measure you use, it will be measured to you again. It's a tape measure. That's all it is. Lisa was handing this out on Father's Day and challenging us to measure ourselves in the light of how our Heavenly Father sees us instead of the old family tree. All right, let's read some scripture. I have to be legal here. The Lord showed me something regarding this rod and this staff and how it's relative to all of our lives and our identity. And the Holy Spirit's always chasing us down to awaken us to our true identity in Christ. That's the fun part of walking in the light, as Christ is in the light. The call upon Moses, his life, I'm going to read from Scripture in Exodus 4, but it started in Exodus 3. Moses had been disillusioned with his leadership role at 40 years old. He was misunderstood. He left Egypt. And for the next 40 years, he's on the backside of Sinai. He's a shepherd. He's shepherding sheep. The Lord, our God, the atmospheric disturbance shows up. There is a thorn bush on fire, but it is not consumed. So he turns aside to go look into this. And as he gets closer, as he looks into this fire, he hears a voice, and it says, Moses. He called his own by name. He said, I have called you. And I'm going to send you back to Egypt to deliver my children who are under it. They have been oppressed and slaves for 400 years. And he says, how can these things be? I mean, he's overwhelmed. I think he's even stuttering a little at that point in his life, 80 years old. So here's an account of his kind of the atmospheric. I can imagine him feeling very lightheaded, inquiring of the glory of the Lord. He's in the presence of the Lord. And Moses answered and said, but Lord, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod, a staff. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said, Moses, put forth your hand and take the serpent by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. All right, this is it. So when I read that several years back, the Lord was saying, Clint, what's that in your hand? I said, it's my family tree. He said, I want you to lay your family tree down before me. Yeah. There it is. And it became a serpent. Oh, here's the shocking part that makes my eyes sting. It became a serpent. It was always a serpent. From the fall of man back to the garden. Adam and Eve have lost the presence of the Lord. God was making a way back even before they fell. He speaks to the serpent as he declares this curse, which he's about to reverse, to the serpent, to the enemy of our soul. In Genesis 3:15, before I read this, I want you to know in my spirit, this isn't theologically perfect, I believe Jesus bowed his head and said, it is finished at 3:15 p.m. And that's just something to consider. But the Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, Jesus will crush your head.
Right.
And you will strike his heel.
Wow.
Fast forward. The Lord walks through the midst of everyday life. He becomes a man. He becomes flesh. I believe we're in finishing school. When we spent some time last time I got together with you in John 3, marvel not, you must be born from above. But to have a revelation of the Lamb of God and a revelation of the blood of Christ and to take a knee is to be born from above. So all that we learn from Christ via the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will take of mine and show it to you. Every time the Holy Spirit receives something from Jesus, his sons and daughters hear it. Blessed are your ears, for they hear it. And when your ears hear it, the fear disappears. And when your ears hear it, there's a strange boldness that comes upon you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to talk about the shepherd's rod. And I believe each one of us possesses one. This is about authority. You have a weapon. You have an authority in Christ. But it's unique. It's not like the guy sitting next to you, the woman sitting next to you. Every one of God's sons and daughters has an authority on them. So I'm going to read an account of Moses. He was 40. He was 80. He gets sent back. He's leading the children out of Egypt, the type of ark coming out of this world. There's a leadership dispute. There's confusion. There's chaos. There's comparing. There's competition. It's weird. It could be a divorce. It could be a church split. It's just the Holy Ghost always brings us back to town and says, you are one bride before me, and I see no stain upon you. That's good news. So I'm going to read from Numbers 17, 1 through 10. A lot of scripture verse here, but there's some fun stuff here. And the Lord, in the midst of this dispute, was saying, speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each father's house. All their leaders, according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and write each man's name on his rod. And you will write Aaron's name on the rod for Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Y'all are the head of your house. Your rod, your authority is alive in Christ. There shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall be the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod a piece for each leader according to their father's houses, 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among the rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted, brought forth buds, produced blossoms, and yielded ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to the children of Israel, and they looked each man upon those rods. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, and you will put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Thus Moses did, just as the Lord had commanded him. This is the journey of our shepherd's rod. So when I put that family tree down before the Lord and had a moment with the Lord, is some of the things he whispered to me. in the giving is forgiving. Most of us carry wounds. We hadn't born into a perfect world. You don't have the power to forgive some of the trauma that has been visited upon even one person. And I think it's the revelation of Christ to our heart. There's this verse in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, agree quickly with your adversary while you are on the way with him, unless the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge delivers you to the officer, and the officer delivers you to the prison, and there you're going to stay in prison until you have paid the last cent, the uttermost farthing. The blood of Jesus has paid the last cent, the uttermost farthing. And by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we're starting to wake up to be an encouragement to each other, because the Comforter is among us. The Comforter is among us. Wow, wow, wow. Whew. Here we go. All right, I'm going to play some music now. I love love songs. I love all sorts of music. I love Tony Bennett. I hear the Lord's voice taking a hike around Springbank. I love music. The Spirit of Truth, speaking through David, says, I'm going to put a new song in your mouth. And they're going to see it, and they're going to tremble, and they're going to rejoice. This is the mouth of Christ. This is the mouth of every one of his sons and daughters. You are created to sing a love song. It's hard to sing love songs around people that are grumpy. But it's going to get you. It's going to get you. I'm going to play a song in a minute. So I just had my grandchildren for a couple of weeks. Multitudes of them. They just went back to Olympia. It was sweet. It was wonderful. We were laughing, talking about the old days, and I was recounting to them when I went to Vietnam. I was engaged to my wife, Tracy. And John Denver had this song, I'm Leaving on a Jet Plane. Remember that song? And so what this is about, a love song. Have you ever had a love song that just stays with you? You got it in the morning, and you're walking through the day, and you're humming the song all day long. I want to hear the voice of Jesus, just one word, and I want to hum it all day long. I want to kind of dance all day long. But that's a narrow way, you know. So we're going to go on to maturity. We're going to really realize who we are in the sight of God. So anyway, here's the lyrics to that song. All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, for the dawn is breaking. It's early morn. The taxi's waiting. It's blowing its horn. Already I'm lonesome. I could cry. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. Can you receive that from the Lord? He's rejoicing over you with singing. Are you hearing the love song? Oh, well, maybe not. When I come back, I'll bring you a wedding ring. Woo. So, a love song that stays with you. So we're going to transition now. We're going to learn to fly a little bit. We need some wings here. So at the end of John the Baptist's ministry, he sees Jesus. He's having, talk about leaning on the anointing, leaning on his God and Father. He says, and his disciples are standing with him. He says, behold the Lamb of God. He's right there, and he's come to take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And shortly thereafter, he loses his head for the type of anointing that was upon it. So there's some conflict, apparently, in declaring the truth in love. So Jesus is grieving, and yet he's ministering. He's grieving the loss of this relative, this friend, this prophet. He was the last Old Testament prophet. Do you know that Jesus is that prophet that should come into the world, that anointed everybody from Adam, you know, to John in the book of Revelation? But Jesus, in the process of being amazed of why people weren't hearing the love song. Why weren't they hearing John? Why don't they hear me? He says this. This is in Matthew 11:17, International Version. A wedding song we played for you. The dance you all did scorn. A woeful dirge we chanted too, but then you would not mourn. John carried the woeful dirge, and it was a call to repent. Jesus carried the wedding song, and the common people heard him gladly. If you've been without love and a slave for 400 years, and a love song comes along, you'll drop it. Just go with him. Just follow him. I thought that was a good word. Okay, now, we're going to have to learn how to fly in order to sing the love song. So I'm going to share something with you. Tracy was reading for me from Joyce Meyer the other day. First of all, y'all not a chicken. You're a bunch of eagles. You're not chickens. So I wore this just for you today. Public speaking law number one, never turn your back on the audience. But I want you to know you're not a chicken. This is the a meditation from Joyce Meyer, actually. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. One translation says, those expecting pass to life. Jacob was dying, and he's prophesying over his sons. He's expecting God to move on his sons. Joyce Meyer writes in one of her little meditations, do you ever feel you're like an eagle in a chicken yard? Grounded and pent up when you should be soaring. You know there is much more within you than you are experiencing and expressing in your life right now. You know God has a great purpose for your life, and you cannot escape or ignore the inner urge to go for it. Know this, all eagles are uncomfortable in the barnyard. They all long for clear, blue, open skies. When you are living in a place that keeps you from being who you are made to be and doing what you are meant to do, you will be uncomfortable too. But also realize that people around you may not understand your desire to break out of the box. They may want to clip your wings. When you hear the comments and the questions, something inside of you may ask, what's wrong with me? Why do I think as I think? Why do I feel this way? Why can't I just settle down and not be a chicken? The reason is you are not a chicken, you are an eagle. You will never feel at home in that chicken yard because you were made for something bigger, more beautiful, more fulfilling. You are an eagle. Okay, now. So, hot air balloon. We've gone from Genesis, we're now going to the book of Revelation. It's one of my favorite books. My brother Dean has written an excellent book, the commentary. He's helped me change my views several times. You know, sometimes your theology can be like a veil on your face. It's a woven line of reasoning. And God's love, God's fire has to tear the veil because it's been torn once and for all so that we could walk in the light with him, right? Okay, Revelation 12:14. This is about Israel, but it's also about the bride of Christ. And I believe in this season we're living in, he wants to awaken the bride of Christ. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and half a time from the presence of the serpent. There's stuff in our face every day. And when we are nourished by the presence of God and his word, this actually dispels the darkness that's trying to define us. Paul writes in Romans 10:15, and how, I'm going to ad lib here, how shall she, the bride of Christ, preach except she be sent from the place where she is nourished? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. You're a carrier of good tidings and good things. So this is typical Clint. I get, you know, I sense God's presence on any one verse, and it's just time to sit down and eat. But this word beautiful, how beautiful are the feet? How lovely are the feet of a carrier of the eternal kingdom of God their Father? Cool word here. The meaning of this word beautiful in the Greek is horaios, which means the time of full bloom. Wow. Are you living in the time of full bloom? It also means belonging to the right hour and the right season. It also means belonging to the right man. I mean, Jesus is hiding behind parables. Once in a while, somebody falls out and gets it. This is not a parable. This is the man of God standing right in front of me. And the veil tears. Belonging to the right man. I heard Bill Johnson say once, your shadow will always release what's overshadowing you. Wow. This is an atmospheric disturbance. I went to a marriage seminar. I had been married. I've been married, how long, Trace? 55? Six? Six! Yikes. So we've been married about 30 years, and there was a marriage seminar at Christian Life Center. And she says, why don't we go down and just sit in on that? And just a little teeny bit of my arrogance was saying, honey, we've been married all this time. I'm feeling really good. I mean, why do we really need to go down to this marriage seminar? Boy, was I humbled. So we got there, and this guy, Miles Weiss is his name. He has everybody stand up. Doesn't matter whether you're single or married. And he said, I want you to stand up with your significant, whoever. And I want you to face off with your wife. And I want you to repeat after me, you are not the enemy. Whoa! And have you ever been tempted to say, Lord, it's the woman you gave me that made me do this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anyway, so much for that. How am I doing, Lou, on time? Lou is somewhere out there. You know that song? We're not just somewhere in space. You know, the Lord declares we are seated together with him in heavenly realms, heavenly places. Your place or mine today? Getting together for coffee. I have the richest communion with my brother Dean. You know, we're just in a season where we're having rich communion. You know, we minister to one another from our heavenly realm through our little mortal bodies, and it is rich. I can dance when I come away with some of the things he's whispering to my brother right now. All right, now I'm going to give you and I'm going to end it, I think, here. I don't know, I might end it here. There's this, at the end of time, Jesus takes care of everything. He says, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I will meet you at your beginning, I'll meet you in the middle, and I'll open to your understanding what the end looks like. That's a good day. That's good to wake up with that expectation. Here's a weird verse. In Matthew 24, 28, Jesus is describing the end time scenario, which people have been doing for thousands of years. Every generation thinks they're the one. And he says, in the end, I will be returning, and as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then here's the weird one. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Ooh, I like that. Are you a hungry eagle? Now, some translations say, wherever the corpse is, there will the vultures be gathered together. I don't like that translation. No. I see a turkey vulture taking out a squirrel in my front yard. That turkey vulture is going to be moving along. I don't like turkey vultures. I researched this. Now, the Catholic Bible reads it, whoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. This is a little commentary I read. The context of each of these passages clearly refers to a heavenly creature doing God's will. Now, an eagle is a predator that only goes after live prey. Vultures and buzzards are scavengers, and they feed on carcasses. The deader, the better. You are not a dead church. That's something I know for sure. All right. Okay. Well, you know, another song would be some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home of God's, to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away to glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away. That is a great song, but I wrestle with that theologically. I'm not just buying time till I get to the celestial shore. I'm not that patient. I'm a retired fireman. You light 'em, I fight 'em. I want to be where the fire is. And so do you. You want to be where the wind of God is. You want to be where the fire of God is. Yeah. So, my fellow eagles, give your family tree to God. He's intimately acquainted with the grief of your tree. He's taken your tree into the wound in his hands and called us to thrust our hand into his side because it is finished. So for your co-union and your co-mission, I want you to listen with fresh ears. I'll close with this. This is not somebody out there's co-mission. I wrestle with that. I go to my brother Dean, family theologian, when I get in a jam. This is your co-mission. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee where Jesus had told them to wait for him, and they went into the mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." A lot of translations says, go and make disciples. I don't want to make a disciple. I have a teacher, and if I make a disciple, you're going to start looking like me, and I don't want you to look like me. I want you to look like you. I want you to look like the original you are. This is your authority. This is who you are in God as you give him the family tree. You're God's daughter. You're God's son. Listen, that song, "I saw your face, I ascended." Jan, he saw your face and he ascended. Laura, he saw your face and he ascended. Dean, he saw your face and he ascended. Richard, he saw your face and he ascended. He sees you differently than you see yourself, but we're all waking up together, and that's a good day. That's a good day. Well, I'm finished. I think the main thing of my heart is this family tree. You know, when Jesus said all power and authority has been given, why not give him your tree? He'll give your family back to you. See, I was estranged from my dad for quite a few years. You know, as he got older, you know, and I got older in the Lord, I realized that the key to my knowing Christ is in the brokenness of my family. I can't run from that anymore. I have to put that tree down and let his love find the place that causes me to give myself permission to estrange myself from my father. And I think that's the miracle of come to me, heavy laden, learn from me. In that marriage seminar, the guy said, cardinal rule number one, never say to your husband, you are just like your father. Have you ever done that or heard somebody that said that? You're not just like. It pleased God to separate you from your mother's womb and to birth you from above and to present you to a world running in confusion, a world of orphans, a world of widows. So let's pray. So Father, I thank you. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You said in your word that you would surround Jerusalem, you would surround your bride with a wall of fire, and that you would be the glory in the midst of her. Father, we know that we're going from glory to glory. We know that if you don't open this book, this life to our understanding, we can't even see to follow. So we pray, Lord Jesus, for the same anointing of the one who cried, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Help us to be good carriers of your fresh word, God, of your fresh bread that keeps us going in the strength of our risen one. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have that expectancy that causes us to pass into your presence like those eagles, Lord. We pray for the fresh wind, the fresh fire upon our families, upon our children, upon our grandchildren. Those that have not yet heard your voice, we spread your covering over them, God. We pray an awakening over them. We pray an awakening over our families, God. We give you our trees today, and we rejoice in who we are individually, God. You comfort us, you lead us, you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.